Spirit. Amen. So we have been following a series of sermons on the Holy Spirit on these Sunday mornings. And so, for example, one topic was the Holy Spirit as our advocate. Another was the Holy Spirit as our healer. And as Ian mentioned before, the topic for today is how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So I want to kind of just begin with a bit of a qualification and say that in the letter to the Hebrews, and this is chapter 7 and verse 28, we read that Jesus is alive now and lives to intercede for us. So this is teaching that you might have heard about Jesus being our great high priest who intercedes for us. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, just only a few verses on from the passage that talked about our topic today, which is the Holy Spirit interceding for us, just a few verses on in Romans 8, 34, we read that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So there is the concept that Jesus intercedes for us. So when we think about the Holy Spirit interceding for us, what we don't want to think is if these two ideas are contradictory to each other, that it is not the case that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and Jesus does not. That's not so. But what it is that God is just so complex and infinitely complex, really. So just how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit interrelate is just above our human limited brains to be able to understand. It's a mystery. But just the same, the Bible does describe some things about this mystery, which it is God's intention that we should know and understand. And so it is God's intention that we should know and understand that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And so Jesus told us in that second reading that we had, the gospel reading, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be in them. And so what we can understand, if Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, then when the Holy Spirit intercedes in us, he is not doing something on his own out in left field that is cutting across what Jesus is trying to do when he's interceding for us in heaven. That's not the case. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. So the two are in harmony. And what the Holy Spirit does is something that is inside us. So it was in Romans 8:26 where Paul describes how the Holy Spirit intercedes or prays for us. He says, we do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And I think actually you and I all know this experientially. I think we all know that there are times when we haven't a clue what to pray, but the situation we're in is a bit unpleasant or a bit threatening or whatever it is, we feel we really ought to pray. It's just we don't know quite how to do that. And so when we are like this, wanting to pray, we probably do all kind of send up our feelings and our thoughts kind of to God. It's not intelligent English speech, but, God! So sometimes we kind of make a bit of a noise. We do actually kind of express ourselves. It's just not in the Queen's English. And so Paul is telling us that what we offer to God like that, actually the Holy Spirit is at work in this. And this Holy Spirit kind of adds content and meaning that is not in English or not in whatever language we may happen to have as our first language. It's just in God talk, and God the Father and the Son hear and understand the prayer coming from us through the Holy Spirit who is in us. And so St. Paul actually says quite a strong thing. He says at the end of verse 27, you know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Well, if prayer is prayed according to the will of God, would you expect it to be answered? You would, wouldn't you? If this is prayer, according, you expect this prayer to be answered. So what this is saying is when we haven't got a clue what to pray, our God does not say, oh, well, we have to forget about this. I'm afraid, John, or I'm afraid we can't do anything about this one because you haven't found the right way to pray to me. God is never stuck. So when we haven't a clue, it's like the Holy Spirit takes over and says whatever it is that needs to be said, so it is the right message. That we did not know how to construct this message or did not necessarily know what it was, but the right message is what gets through and that God answers. And so I think what I want to say is that we are wise now to make the most of this thing that God does. Because, you know, sometimes after we've been Christians for a while, we can become a bit blasé and ho-hum and think we're knowing what to do. And, oh, yes, this, oh, dear Lord, please do that. And it's like in our overconfidence, we kind of like telling God, this is the way, God, this situation, kindly do it, will you? And I mean, it really does not work. And so we need to not be arrogant. We need to come before God humbly when we pray and we're trying to get right what we think God wants in our situation, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us to get right. And so when we pray and try to open ourselves up in such a way that the Holy Spirit praying, then we increase the chances that God is going to do good things in us and through us to others. So just how now does this actually work in practice? And if we've gone back a few verses in the same chapter, in Romans 8 verse 14, we have a verse that hopefully all Christians kind of like know, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So this is to give us confidence, you know, we're children of God. Well, that's great, isn't it? Means that if we've come to Jesus and asked him to forgive us our sins, then he puts his Holy Spirit inside us. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in us is to guide us on what we're to do. But he doesn't just guide us in what we do. He kind of like guides us how to do it. Sometimes the right thing can be done in the wrong way and it's counterproductive. So he guides us what to do and how to do it. Now, once you and I have decided we really want to live this kind of life, where we're trying to follow Jesus, but we're not just doing it according to our own insights and understanding, but we're trying to be led by the Spirit that Jesus himself has given us. Once we've got to that point, then I want to say that this idea of the Holy Spirit interceding inside us just as a very logical follow-on. It just fits so naturally to do it. Becomes part of how we live, where we try to give the Holy Spirit maximum freedom to influence us in how we live our lives. Because I want to say, or we all know, I think probably that God is not like that slave driver who says, I don't care whether you want to do it or not, you're doing it. You know, that God wanted us to freely choose to follow him, to freely choose to walk in the way of Jesus. And so when we pray and we try to give the Holy Spirit maximum freedom to guide us in what we do. And I think it is the case that in almost everything, every situation we're in, that there will be some aspect of it that we do not fully understand. So if we just think we're being a Christian according to our own lights, you see, without the Holy Spirit, we're following what Jesus said, just according to our own insights and understanding. And so we try to do the things we do kind of with a limited understanding, which means also that the results, the consequences, are also going to be pretty limited. But if we can be led by the Spirit, then even although intellectually we do not understand all that's happening around here, nevertheless, the Spirit guides us to do the things of God, the way of God, and really good things happen. So I'm wanting to say, when we're in any situation, I think we're wise to offer our prayers in such a way that it makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to add a dimension to our prayers. So this is a little bit like you have your meal and you add pepper and salt to make it a bit more tasty, except that that's a bad analogy because pepper and salt is just a bit of flavouring on top of it. What we're asking the Spirit to do is to come and add something which is not just pepper and salt, but it is part of the substance of the thing itself that makes what we do really, really good and just exactly what God would like us to do. And we see how Jesus did this in his own life, you know, that the night before Jesus died, the Bible tells us that there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he did not want to die. And he doesn't pretend that things are what they are not. So his prayer to God, his Father, is such an honest prayer. Father, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Isn't there another way? And yet the actual prayer that he sends up is, but not my way, but your way. And I'm really wanting to say that is the kind of prayer that I think you and I need to be praying too, that we trust God that he's going to do things. When we pray that kind of prayer, we're inviting him to do stuff that we do not actually know what it is. But we're giving him permission, we're trusting him. Your way, God, I want to go with your way, whatever that is. Or sometimes people have asked me to pray for them in some situations in their lives. Other times I've become aware of a situation in someone's life where it seemed to me they needed prayer, and I'm quite sure each of you have had the same kind of experience where we know we're meant to pray for someone else in some kind of way. And the Holy Spirit prompts those things inside us. This is not just our human hubris, as it were, but the Holy Spirit prompts us really to pray for others. But we are wise to involve the Holy Spirit in that prayer. Because if someone asks us to pray for something, honestly, do we really know all that matters in this person's life? I mean, we never do. We don't know all that much about this person. And if we don't know all that much about this person, how can we pray the right prayer for that person? So we pray a prayer that invites God into the process so that God is answering our prayer in the way that God has determined is the best possible way forward. And I think when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this kind of way, you know, the results are very, very good. So there's the challenge that I kind of like see in the first of those Bible readings this morning, that when we face some bit of a problem or difficult situation, we should not despair or be discouraged or feel hopeless. There is nothing that can be done. Woe, woe is me. Instead, we can have confidence in God that he is in us. And if we pray the best we can and invite him to take control here and to bring out the answer, then the God who is smart enough to create this universe And the God who is powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead, that God is certainly able to meet our needs and enable us to meet the needs of others in every way through the Holy Spirit who intercedes through us to God. May it be like that for you and me. Amen.